Sylvester Graham would have hated the s'more. The inventor of the graham cracker was no ordinary food entrepreneur. He was the fervent leader of one of America's first big diet trends. Only Graham's strict regimen of bland foods was not about losing weight or lowering cholesterol. The graham cracker was part of a health movement designed to squelch America's sexual urges. Here to tell us more about this forgotten bit of food history is Adi Braun, who wrote about Sylvester Graham for The Atlantic. Hello, Adi.
Hi, Virginia.
So tell us more about Sylvester Graham and what led him to prominence as a 19th century health guru.
Yeah, so Sylvester Graham was an evangelical reverend in America during the first half of the 19th century in the Northeast. He came out of these social and health reform movements that were gaining popularity at the time. So the temperance movement, the early feminists, the abolitionists, this was pre-Civil War America, the people promoting kind of alternative health and lifestyles, like anti-tobaccoist, anti-caffeine. He came out of this, and he really made a name for himself initially by giving these very fiery speeches to young men, warning them against the dangers of masturbation. And this was based on his theories of human physiology. So Graham believed that the more exciting and therefore the more immoral the sexual act, the worse it was for your health. So he had this kind of sliding scale of sexual depravity. On the one end, you had marital sex, which was the most innocuous, and that was okay, but only once a month, because beyond that was excessive and pathological. And on the other hand, you had self-stimulation, which was, in Graham's mind, the most exciting and therefore the most harmful. And in fact, he blamed the cholera epidemic of 1832 in part to these excessive sexual behaviors. Out of this, he began to expand his view on the excesses that were really a problem in American society at the time. And he, you know, he saw gluttony as part of this commercialization, you know, materialism. And so out of these ideas about reining in excess and repressing people's sexual urges, he formulated a comprehensive lifestyle plan, which he called the Graham System of Living. At the heart of this system was the Graham diet. It prohibited the drinking of alcohol, you know, no tobacco, no caffeine, no spices. That was too exciting for him, and no meat. Graham was one of the fathers of the early American vegetarian movement, and the diet really consisted of fruits, vegetables, a little bit of dairy, and whole wheat. And whole wheat became increasingly important to Graham.
Among those staples that he took issue with was white bread. What was his opposition?
Yeah, so white bread was really a problem for Graham. What was happening at the time was the era of early industrialization, and with it came the beginnings of the commercial food industry. And so there wasn't a whole lot of regulation going on. There was a fair amount of adulteration. And all of these additives were being put into the white bread, copper, alum, clay, chalk, all these things to make it whiter and also to extend its shelf life. You know, Graham may have been exaggerating the health crisis a bit, so much so, in fact, that he wrote an entire a book about how to make homemade bread out of whole wheat flour. And whole wheat flour, Graham was convinced, would restore Americans to health. Whole wheat flour, you know, gave the teeth a workout. It led to a healthy colon, you know, a healthy, strong colon. So he had all these ideas about the health benefits of whole wheat. And so he wrote his book laying out in very careful detail not only how to make homemade bread, but how to make whole wheat flour. And he called the whole wheat flour Graham flour, and his Graham bread. And that eventually became what we know today as Graham crackers. But, you know, of course, his his bread had no sugar or spices in it. And, of course, graham crackers today include those ingredients. And it's also a commercial product. So
Graham's countering of our animalistic desires that were getting the better of us gave rise to the graham cracker, now a Nabisco-branded snack. You write that his lifestyle advice included some pretty sensible advice. What else besides graham crackers did Sylvester Graham prescribe?
His lifestyle plan was pretty ascetic. You know, he advocated for pretty radical health and hygiene habits, you know, getting regular exercise and bathing regularly, getting fresh air and drinking fresh water, also wearing loose clothing. You know, he believed that tight-fitting clothing was bad for the body, going to bed at this very prescribed time, getting up early. I mean, it was all about the rituals of the day and making sure that people weren't straying too far from it. It was a very restrictive way of life.
How popular was this, sounds pretty bland, but somewhat sensible regimen?
Yeah, it was sensible, but, you know, he was kind of an extremist. I mean, but he definitely had his followers. I mean, he was a guru of his day, and he was especially popular amongst the middle classes, even though he was really targeting the poor. You know, his popularity lasted a few years, really, in the sort of early to mid-1830s, before I think he became even too extreme for his Grahamites, as they call themselves, his followers. But yeah, he wrote regularly. He published often. He was an exceptional orator, so his lectures were really popular. So yeah, I mean, he was a big deal for a bit there.
You write also about one very notable Grahamite, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, a name familiar to all of us. What did he do with Graham's prescriptions?
Yeah, so Graham died in 1851, I believe. So fast forward about 40 years, and in Battle Creek, Michigan, it was a health spa, and it was run by Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, who was a Graham disciple, and he was always concocting these new food products, and he was kind of tooling around the kitchen one day and created this cereal. He served it to his patients, went over quite well, and he started marketing it, and eventually that became known as cornflakes.
Who would you likely compare Sylvester Graham to today? Would he be more food guru and author Michael Pollan or the evangelical leader Pat Robertson?
Probably a combination of both. I mean, I would say that the thing that really separates Graham from somebody like Michael Pollan is he's a bit of an extremist. You know, I mean, he was all about this very regimented diet, and it certainly was linked to religion, but I would say less so than in evangelical ministers that we have today. You know, his diet was more along the lines of these kind of fad diets, you know, the paleo diet, South mm-hmm. Beach diet, a baby food diet. Even Atkins, I would say, is more kind of similar to what he was promoting.
Adi Braun, thank you for opening up this really odd chapter of history for us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Adi Braun, she's written for NPR, for Lapham's Quarterly, and The Atlantic, where you can find her recent article on the 19th century food guru Sylvester Graham. There's a link to read it at wordofmouthradio.org.